Welcome once again to Nova Gaia Love. I'm Dragonheart, here to talk to you today about springing into the love of Nova Gaia. I'm joined today by the angel and the fairy as we get excited for our first day of spring and stepping into this wonderful energy of the East. I'm talking about the medicine wheel, or the wheel of life. As we are on our Earth walk, it is one of the guides or maps that's been given to us since a time unknown. It's been studied and done by many cultures and indigenous people around the world, but I like to look at it in a very simple form. And the simple form is that circle or that ball. We enter in the East or in the springtime, and this is the start of the anew. It's the birth, it's the growth. It's when we plant our seeds and the flowers begin to bloom. Why, just this morning, you should have heard the mockingbirds singing up their chatter of what is to become of the new growth of the new time. And boy, were they loud. Even the hummingbirds were buzzing around, laying eggs, birthing new chicks. It is such a beautiful time. So if we look at the wheel of life, or the medicine wheel, the spring is in the East. Spring is also represented by the wind, as well as Archangel Raphael. When we step into a medicine wheel or a healing circle, we step in through the East because it is where the sun rises. It is that beginning point where we see that sun cracking over, spreading its light. It's cool pinks and reds and oranges as it awakens the land. Just like your soul, your angelic self, awakening up to the new energy of Nova Gaia Love. So, dear fairy, what does it mean to you when I say we're entering into the spring as we step into the East? How is this feeling for you at this time?
Well, thank you, Dragonheart. Spring is renewal. Spring is coming out of the time of rest into new ways of being. This morning, where I live, it's very windy. It's a very windy place to start with. And this morning we have pretty big wind, and it is exciting to step into the wind for me, to feel the newness that the wind brings as it blows through me. It takes up all that I no longer need, that I am ready now to let go through this time of rest, and where I can think about what I want to see now. And the wind just brings in so much excitement, so much newness. It is dancing with my cells in bringing some change, some newness, and beauty, and love, and kindness, and all of that. I can feel it within my whole body, that this wind is bringing definitely part of this new energy that we are entering as we go into the age of Aquarius. It's more here than at any given time before, and it excites me to hear that as I listen to the wind.
I love how you say that the wind releases what is no longer necessary for you, or takes away what you no longer need. Nature loves to recycle. So the wind is an excellent way to recycle and let go. Just release it, blow it off, shake it off, wipe it off. Give it into the sky people of the air. It all is going to be recycled for the highest good of all beings on this planet. What a beautiful imagery of having that wind blow. And then I noticed too that the neroli, or the open citrus flowers, are smelling in the backyard. And that wind just is enough to blow it straight into my house. And I can smell that sweet citrus floral and hear the bees buzzing. And again, that wind is just enough to help push the pollen in and fertilize these beautiful aromatic flowers and turn them into lovely fruits for us for later. How does it make you feel, dear angel? What does spring mean to you?
Spring is, pardon me, such a beautiful time of growth and renewal. And when I think of spring, what I feel are all the tiny little grasses, all the little plants, all the natural wildflowers popping up through the soil and starting to grow. In fact, my house is known in our area as the wildflower house, which is unusual here because most homes have professional gardeners and are very nicely tended. But we're do-it-yourselfers, and we also love what the natural desert provides. And so the strip of land alongside our house that fronts the road gets filled with wildflowers. And some years there's a lot, and some years there's not so much. You know, it depends on the amount of rainfall, it depends on the heat, it depends on so much. But already I've got a beautiful purple verbena in the front yard. I've got some little yellow daisy-like flowers that are popping up, and there's so much more to come. Right now, a lot of them haven't emerged from the dirt. They're still just thoughts. They're still just seeds. They're still just ideas, just the hint of a plant. And I see that for all of us. Spring, that renewal, that hint of what we are becoming. It may just be an energy. It may just be an idea. And some of them won't push through the ground. Some of them won't emerge, or they'll start to grow and wither. And that, a certain amount of that is natural. Not everything thrives. But oh, you can still really have fun with just that idea, just that seed, just that little bit of growth. You can still really enjoy it. As humans, we tend to think that you're only a success when something actually gets completed and done and somebody stamps an A on your forehead and gives you a gold star. And no, you can play with your dreams. You can play with your ideas. You can play with your aspirations. They can be completely unrealistic, and you can still enjoy them. Another thought is that when we have lots of rain, that's when it helps for everything to grow. Now, if you're not in the desert and you do have your beautiful tended garden, what do? You add mulch. It's the crappy times in your life, pardon me, that can help you grow the most. Spring is your time to take those downfalls, those shames, those interruptions, those times when you didn't quite measure up, or when you fell flat on your face one way or another, and transform that into a magical period of growth. Look at them as learning opportunities and take your lessons. It's not take your punishment. It's not beat yourself up forever. Take your lessons, explore your lessons, and thrive as a result. And that's what spring is for me. Interestingly though, and I wonder if either of you have thoughts on this, in the desert, spring leads to our hibernation, because when it gets real hot, we go inside. How does that add an extra layer of what spring means for people who are exposed to a desert environment? Because think about it. A lot of wisdom comes from mountaintops and from deserts.
Okay. I can see Gita's already smiling, but I'm going to put in my two cents here, being the Midwestern girl. Being the girl who was born in a land and for 22 years lived where there was only flat land, where I did not have a body of ocean. I did not have a mountain to speak to. And the trees that were there were not indigenous to the land, but they were brought in. Nebraska is the center of the Arbor Foundation because we had to bring trees to a flat place that was very, very humid. And so, just speaking from that, the spring was everything. The spring was the small flowers and planting the seeds of corn. And it was the time to begin and to start. For us, the spring really, well, I love the fall because it's my birthday, not because of anything else. Well, and I like Halloween too, but that's another story. The fall is cold and winter comes and then you're hibernating then. So as a Midwesterner and as somebody who, people who lived where four seasons are, it is not a time for hibernation. It is the time to wake up, shimmy and shake, see those bright colors, make plans to go fishing and be outdoors and swim in the gravel pits. Yeah, we really didn't have real lakes. They were just man-made pits. So I'm going to actually let Gita talk about the hibernation, because she's actually lived in both areas where it has been the desert, and she has lived with the four seasons. For me, the desert is still fairly new. I've only been here for 5 years. So when you speak of hibernation, I totally understand that, because come summertime here, I can't do anything but sleep. When it hits over 115 degrees, I do hibernate. So, I'd like to hear some more. Miss Fairy, what are your thoughts?
I want to really say, Kay, that was beautiful. Everything you said was just so immensely beautiful. Spring is such an important season, like all the seasons are important, but spring is where everything really just comes back to life. Here in the desert, yes, we live in the winter, but you know, it still gets cold, and we, you know, in the spring is the time when we're outside. I grew up in Europe. I grew up in a fairly wet environment where it was always green, so you take it for granted. And when I moved to the desert, and I, in the spring, when the flowers come out, especially after a wet year, after we had lots of rain and all the hills, I don't know if you've ever been on through the Cajon Pass, where in the spring, where you can just see fields of colors, all different kinds of, it's tremendously beautiful and amazing. And so for me who grew up with this, it was just, and then you get used to the desert, it's just such an special time, as you can see the growth and you can take it in to yourself. And then, you know, you get visitors from Europe, where I used to live, and you show them that and you're so excited, and they say, yeah, so, because that's what they're used to. So for us, the summer is when nobody comes here, when nobody shows up, because it gets really, really hot. So we basically have to live outside two seasons, which is a very, very short fall. You know, we can, you know, if the summer goes long, the first day I can rely on having to wear a sweater is Halloween, and on my birthday on November 4, you turn on the heater. So there's your fall. But spring is usually the season when everything comes to life here in the desert. And you see it in the desert grounds, and you get so excited about the little. You can really notice the little flowers as they're coming out. And it is the most beautiful, beautiful thing. And I think that relates so much to us. Spring is the time of awakening, when we really come out of that hibernation that from the winter, you know, and where everything is mostly alive. And living here in the desert, I think we're probably more alive in the spring than any other time. But for the rest of the world, it is an awakening to that newness and see what comes. You put this so well, Kay. I don't think there's any words that can convey this better, to see what comes out of you. What are the new things that you're excited about? What do you feel drawn to? What is it? And, you know, just exploring and playing and having that innocence of a child to see that new growth is one of the most special, beautiful things. And then, you know, in the summer and the fall, you'll just develop that. But here it is, where it comes in, where we recognize it. It's a beautiful time.
And I have to continue with Kay's thought about the fertilizer. You were calling it mulching, by taking what we have learned and allowing it to grow. And as a good Nebraska girl, well, we take that shit and we turn it into fertilizer. And it is that fertilizer that grows these ginormous cow patties as a kid that I remember stepping in. Well, for some of you, they may give you a mushroom or two, but for the rest of the world, it is that fertilizer that grows these new plants, that grows our food. So by taking the lessons of the past year, instead of having it sticks and thorns in us, instead of having it something that holds us back, we pull it out. And once again, we give it to the earth to recycle. And we said, all right, take my shit. This is my shit. This is all the stuff that I judged myself. This is all the stuff that I feel that I can't handle. This is what I don't understand. How can I learn from this? And let it go. Give that fertilizer, give your shit back to the earth, and let it feed those seeds. Let it feed what it is inside of you. And I loved when she said, it's okay for some of those seeds not to fully come out. And maybe it's just a little green vine, and it didn't come with a full flower. It's okay. Angel, can you tell us some more? I mean, I guess we're just we're just all on the same thought.
I actually have a strangely appropriate story for now. We had our wind in my neighborhood a few days ago, and it was blowing through. And I went out to bring up the trash. No, it wasn't to bring up the trash cans. I went out to just check the mail. And out by my mailbox on the ground was a length of toilet paper that was rather extra long and had been used. There were, yes, brown smears on this long, rumpled bunch of toilet paper. And I mean, I didn't want to touch it or anything. I was not happy at all to see that in front of my house. But I did think I should pick this up and throw it in the trash can. And I went to get a paper towel or something. I started to turn to walk to do that. And I just thought, no, I do not want to keep hold of somebody else's crap. It was a feeling, because really it's disgusting and nobody wants to pick up used toilet paper, but I do feel guilty that I ultimately did not and just decided to let it keep blowing to where it was meant to go. But it really felt like metaphysically I would be taking somebody else's crap. And it just seemed to have a different meaning than just not littering and picking up after somebody. It was, do I want to take on somebody else's crap? And I have no idea what it was representing, because it blew a bit away. And a few minutes later, I went back outside again because I felt, like I say, I felt guilty. I don't like littering or allowing other people's litter to stick around when I can do something about it. And I looked, turned my head down the street because the wind had kind of died down. I thought, okay, well, I better just like put on a rubber glove and a hazmat suit and go get it. It was gone. It had gone down, and most of the places along my stretch of road here have walls and shrubs and gates and stuff, so it's not going into their front yard. My yard's more open. No, I couldn't see it along the side of the street. I couldn't see it in the street, and it had not gusted very much. So I'm like, oh, okay, well, I guess I was listening to some message from Spirit, and yay.
Well, I think that is absolutely perfect. When we say that the universe is going to recycle for us, it recycles. It's not your responsibility to change people's minds. It's not your responsibility to call anything out. We are not here to judge. We are here only to be. And Angel, you did just that. You acknowledged, you understood, and you took the right action, which was at that time just to be. If your action was to remove it, I believe in my heart after that 5 minutes it would be there still. And it would have gotten caught on a branch and it would have buried itself in for you to deal with it and remove it. But you took your action of love, which is, this is not my crap.
I want to take this even further, because in the big picture, it is the crap that is producing, as you mentioned before, that actually grows new things. It goes wherever it needs to go. So that in that place, in that space, something else can grow. It's this beautiful cycle. There, you know, in the end, there's really just nothing that is crap. It is, but it isn't. Because
in the big picture, within the earth, everything is recycled and everything feeds something else. That saying, you know, my trash is your treasure, is in that sense true as well for all of it. It's a seed, you know, seeds grow better with fertilizer. And fertilizer is what we commonly call crap.
I have a hard time
today.
I have a hard time seeing a piece, a length, a very long length of used toilet paper as anyone's treasure. It is not. But you know, there have been times when, yes, I've been very grateful to find a stall that had toilet paper. So I suppose it can be a treasure. Though the used part, though, not so much.
Well, I was thinking maybe it was more of a treasure for a fly or for the insect world or even the plants. And in fact, to go along with exactly what Yita was saying in one of the blogs that Dragonheart wrote, I believe I even said that in the beginning and in the end, there is no difference between a plastic cup and the Dalai Lama. In the beginning and in the end, we are all made of the same parts. It's just a different vibration, different energy level, a different conscious compassion light within us that separates us. But again, in the beginning and in the end, exactly the same makeup. So I can only giggle at our crappy talk today because it's very fertilizing and it's very spring and it's very much empowering to the fact that, well, that's how you get the brilliant colors for the flowers. That's how we get the smells that waft through the airs. I'm sure in New Orleans, the tea olive, this is when that tree blooms, the olive tree, it smells like that sweet tea olive smell. I just think about it. And then in the South, all of those jasmine. Oh, the jasmine. So all of this wonderfulness of the spring, it truly comes from what we have learned, what we've experienced, and how we recycle it. So we encourage you to go plant your seeds, to expand your ideas, to find your, well, your wind to blow through you to release what you no longer need, to invite yourself to throw out new ideas, to have new daydreams, and to understand the lessons of the past year. What did you learn? What didn't serve you? What is something that you can expand upon and grow? And what in your own flower pot of life, what do you want to nurture to grow, and what do you just need to let go? That is part of our journey of life. And that is something that, well, it's your life, your control. We just have the love for you to allow it to grow and expand. We are here to support you and your love. Well, any closing comments for our spring into the Nova Gaia love?
I want you to, all your listeners, I want you to look at nature. I want you to look at the newness of it all. I want you to look at the little birds, the little bunnies, the whatever, all the birth that is happening, all the newness, and just rejoice and welcome the new and welcome that which suits you within yourself. Feel yourself and welcome the new.
Miss Angel?
Beautifully said, our fairy Gita. I just want to encourage everybody to love yourself. Love yourself. Love whatever is emerging and arising in you, whatever is coming to express itself, whether it's with laughter or with tears. Just love it as we love you.
Well, after saying that, I don't think there's anything else to be said. So, here at Nova Gaia Love, you know where to find us. We have our podcasts, our blogs. You can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, as well as we have our new book, The Prophecy Map of Nova Gaia, which is purchased on Amazon. Thank you, and we will see you in our dreams.